Hello, and welcome to a roundtable discussion on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, I'm joined by guests for a lively conversation on a topic we hope you'll find interesting. In this episode, I am joined by my sister Kay, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the fourth book of the Lost Fleet series, Valiant. Now, I don't know how I sound on the microphone, but I know how I sound to me, and I'm a little under the weather, as is my sister, but this was a good time to record the episode, because we're going to have a chance to read the next book soon. We've already had a day or two since since we read the last book, plus a pause or two in the middle. So if I seem a little fuzzier on the contents of this book, that reflects me, not the book.
Yes, exactly. I share the feeling.
This one started with the Lost Fleet heading back to Lakota.
Yes.
Just left there, having faced fairly overwhelming forces in the end of the third book. It done fairly well, a lot of damage, but it's like, okay, let's move on.
Yeah, it wasn't quite a cliffhanger in the last book, but was more of a, we're not sure what to do, let's make a U-turn.
I would say it was a reveal. It was a twist ending of we've gotten out of this battle, having inflicted major damages, but we've taken some hits. What do we do when we get to the other thing? And at the end of the third book, he's like, we're heading back. We're going to take them on.
Yeah.
And that puzzled me, but early in this book, there was the explanation that since they'd spent about a week in jump space, they had time to do repairs.
Each direction?
Well, no, one out of Lakota.
Yeah.
And then another week back.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So they had about 2 weeks to be fixing stuff. And because Captain Gary has to be explaining what he's doing to the co-president, to the other captains and such, we, the readers, get to learn his mindset, his rationale. And particularly when the co-president's non-military, she's like, why are you doing this? It's like, well, we've had time to do all this. You know, we're actually in better shape to go back and fight than if we had stayed.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting. And one of the other differences in this book from the other three was, in addition to having to fight the Syndic, the enemy forces, internal forces are starting to really become a problem.
Yeah, I was thinking about the oath that officers take to fight enemies foreign and domestic.
Well, it's funny because that oath could go both ways, and I don't know if they have that in the Lost Fleet world or not. But when they discover sabotage in their jump drives that would have stranded half the fleet at one point, taken Captain Gary's ship and one of his other allies, Duelos?
I think it was both Duelos and Cressida, the one who's been doing all the research.
Yeah.
All three ships would have gone into jump space and never been seen again.
Yeah, never been able to get out.
Yeah.
And when this is discovered by Captain Dejani, she takes it to Gary and they're like, this is bad. What are we going to do? And Co-President Rion had a brilliant solution. Tell everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one thing to have petty infighting and arguments. It's another thing to sabotage your own forces and strand people in this jump space, almost nether realm, never to be seen again. And that had an interesting aspect. We still haven't found out who did that sabotage.
Nor who killed Yen and the other captain that was going to the firing squad. But this cast light on that accident.
Well, and those two were basically, because that came out in this book, they did bad things. I forget if it was in this battle or the last book. They essentially were avoiding battle.
Yes.
And other ships paid the price for that. So when Gary's basically calling them cowards and stuff, one of them basically fesses up to it and the other fights.
Yeah.
And one of them insists on being put to death because he knows living would be even worse in this society.
Yeah.
But they are on a shuttle to another ship, which tragically blows up.
Mm-hmm.
And then after this other jump drive kind of sabotage is uncovered, people realize that probably wasn't an accident.
See, I'm wondering if both of them were actually on that shuttle.
There is that question, yeah.
I guess I'm not as honest as, you know what I mean? My thinking is, it's not like we saw them board the shuttle.
Right. We know they're on there because Captain Gary was told they were on there.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make for a dishonest narrative.
Right.
But people in the story being dishonest.
Right.
And to me, that's an important distinction.
Yes.
Because if I can't trust the storyteller, that gets really hard to know what's going on in the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're withholding things, you're lying to me, and I can't trust my eyes, essentially.
Well, and what we do know is someone is trying to be very clever. Someone is trying to manipulate things, and someone is trying to put themselves in a powerful position. So when this fleet gets back to Alliance space, they can basically use the fleet to set them up as a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize that the fleet is willing to support Gary at this point.
Well, because he's got this great track record now, amazing battle after amazing battle. Yes, they've had major losses, but from their point of view, they were incredibly minor losses.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that continues to fascinate me, that Gary views them as major losses because in his time, they would have been major losses.
Losing any ship was a great tragedy. Here, having ships survive is a great miracle.
Yeah.
And that came out also when, in another battle, two of the ships broke orders but attacked.
Yeah.
And he was furious.
Well, and they led a third one. A third one followed their example, should say.
And ships were lost.
Well, the third one didn't make it.
Yeah.
And that was what infuriated him, was that third one might have stayed with the formation if the other two hadn't broken and led the charge.
But then with Disjani was saying, if you treat those two captains like the other two who avoided fighting,
yeah,
that's not going to go over well.
Yeah, because they're different crimes. They both disobeyed orders.
Right.
But cowardice versus aggression into battle.
Attempt to be heroic.
Yeah, they're different crimes. And we have not yet seen how Gary will handle this.
Yeah, he's definitely had some challenges on his hands as to managing the fleet.
And we're getting more and more about the alien.
Yes.
In terms of challenges.
Well, and also how the Syndic seems to definitely be aware of them.
Yes.
I mean, the whole alien plotline went from there could be aliens, to we think there are aliens, to we know there are aliens, to we know the other side knows there are aliens. And in this book, we were getting to where the two sides, the Syndic and the Alliance, start having the possibility of peace.
Yes.
Because when Gary had saved the colony that was abandoned.
Now that was fascinating. Back up and give more on that.
They are in this system planning just to go from jump point to jump point. And they get this distress call from a colony that's like, hey, our life support's just about out. It's on a repeating message. They didn't even know they're still alive at this
point. Mm-hmm.
But they basically had been abandoned ages ago by the corporation.
Years. Yeah.
And it's not like the Lost Fleet had the fuel reserves or the time or the other things to spare.
But what they realized was back in Lakota, where the Syndics had destroyed the Hypernet Gate, and hundreds of thousands of people were left in distress, and anything they had tried to do would be a meaningless drop in the bucket, as well as drain them of precious resources. This was 600 people, and they could do it.
Well, yeah, because in the Lakota system, it would have almost been an act of cruelty to force people to choose who gets saved, who doesn't.
Yeah.
Here, you could take the entire group.
Yeah.
And from Captain Gary's point of view, it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd gained enough faith and trust from the fleet that they did it.
Yeah.
Although there was a little bit of are you sure kind of thing.
There was are you sure from the Alliance, and there was a lot of doubt from the colony, complete with the mayor sending messages basically saying, please tell me what I can tell our people.
Yeah, how can I sell this to them that you're not just coming here to slaughter us?
Yeah, and I believe one of Gary's messages was, if we wanted to slaughter you, we'd have done bombardment by now.
Yeah. The fact we're talking is proof.
Yeah, we wouldn't be talking and sending shuttles.
Yeah.
And when the mayor came on board, he said that... he said that the life support was failing to the point that they had been about to draw lots.
Mm.
And some of the people were going to leave the area with life support and basically sacrifice themselves. And that they had been torn. Should it be the elderly and things?
The ones that have less time left anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, so to them, it was truly a saving grace, and they couldn't imagine that the enemy had been the one to save them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they got to the next star system, Gary had to threaten the orbital base to accept the refugees.
Yeah, because the base was like, don't come near us. It'll be viewed as an act of aggression. He's like, I've got your people that need somewhere to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And again, he was very clear, you will take these people.
Yeah.
Or kind of face the consequences.
Yeah. And then that paid off really well for him in terms of the message he received later.
In the yet another system.
No, that was the same system.
Oh, was it? Okay, that...
It was the same system.
I had enough of a break between reading. I had gotten a little confused there, and I was wondering how this other world knew.
No, he dropped the mayor on the orbital station, and the mayor's sister, it turned out, was the head CEO on the main planet in that system.
Got it, okay.
And she had been told by the corporation 10 years ago that her brother died.
Tragic accident.
Yeah. And she had no idea that her brother had married, that he had 3 children.
Yeah, when she contacts Gary and basically says, and she does it in a stealthy manner.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the CEO. I had a dead brother. Now I have a live brother and nieces and nephews I can meet.
Yes.
Thanks to you.
Yeah.
There's this other fleet out there that is on our side, and I know you're going to need to destroy them. But there's also these resources you can get over here, over here, over here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and she said that the fleet that's about to engage you has ordered me to do this, that, and the other. You know, they've ordered. Kind of the, not that I'm going to obey.
Yes.
The people who left my brother to die.
Well, and we'd already gotten indications that things were bad in the Syndic worlds.
Yeah.
That they were fighting a war they could never win.
Yeah.
And it was draining resources. It did not have the popular support.
Yeah.
And they were treating their people very poorly.
Well, and we had gotten lots of references to the fact that the corporations would pull off of worlds. And once they got all of the things that they believed were basically corporate property off, they just kind of left what was there behind.
They took what they thought had value.
Yeah.
And the people they thought had value.
Yeah.
And just left. And it was interesting because after the battle against this other group, flotilla or whatever in the system, they captured the secondary CEO or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary's talking with him and basically being fed stuff by Rayon and...
Iger.
Iger, the intelligence guy. And they're basically telling him, stop applying or aiming towards his... interest in the greater Syndic good.
Yes.
Go for his personal interests. How would it be good for him if there's peace?
Yeah.
And it was kind of revolting to Gary, but he understood it.
Yeah.
And again, he was setting the pathway to peace, which I expect to happen a bit more in the next book and the sixth of this group.
Yeah.
Likewise, I expect to get more revelation on both the alien presence.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because now there was the concept of you've got Alliance space and Syndic space that are adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side from the Alliance space of the Syndic space is this alien threat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just Johnny who posited, well, maybe that alien race has put the humans at war with each other because there's something on the other side of them.
Mm-hmm. It goes back to the ancient Romans. And I was trying to remember what it was back in ancient Roman times. But basically, the ancient Romans had the attitude of, if you know someone has an enemy on the other side, that they're worried about, start fighting them. Because people don't want to fight on all fronts.
Yeah, fighting on multiple fronts is a bad idea. It splits your resources.
Yeah.
And that was definitely a tactic Gary was using in battle.
Yes.
Where he'd position parts of his group just enough apart to get people to go after one, and then he'd, you know, regroup and clobber.
Mm-hmm.
At least when he could, when the captains didn't go do their own thing.
Well, there was one point in that final battle where he was getting overwhelmed by all the details. And Rion just leaned in and said, you chose the lead ships of the sub-formations because you trust them.
Delegate.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was probably the closest he was falling into being Blackjack Gary versus Captain John Gary, where he was almost, believing his own hype, but getting caught up in the moment.
Well, but part of it is that in all the previous battles, he had had to choose where all the formations went, because he had been having to teach the fleet so much. And I think for Captain John Gary, there's so much that it's, I learned this years before they did.
I don't think he was appreciating that by this point they've had 6 or 7 major fights.
They're quick studies.
And they've had a chance to learn and understand.
Yeah.
It would have been nice if in a couple of the books there had been a side discussion or two with a couple of the captains of, why did you do this?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Even if it had just been Duelos, who would then later propagate out.
Yeah.
acting as almost one of the apostles of blackjack,
mm-hmm.
if you will. So there was quite a bit going on in this book in terms of, again, the fights, fleet battle, the politics, the internal sabotage, what's going on with the aliens and such.
Well, and Captain Gary beginning to understand what life must be like in the Alliance based on what he's seeing of life in the Syndic worlds.
Well, and he also finally digs into the records of some of the captains he's dealing with.
Yes.
And to his own family.
Yeah.
And that was good that it took a while to get to, because I think he was a little busy with what was going on.
Yeah.
To do that kind of research. But it also was apropos when he did it, of these people are facing huge losses. How is this impact?
Yeah.
For them to be almost unfazed by losing, you know, so much of the fleet at this point. Because I've lost count of how many ships they've lost, but the fleet's much smaller now.
Yes.
I mean, it was 140 at least ships before.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's got to be at least 70 or 80, if not smaller.
Yeah.
So, and that's one of the things that is a little bit of a challenge, because a lot of captain names and ship names get tossed about.
Yes.
And it's not like you need to keep track of them, but the fact that I can't keep track of them is part of why it's like, well, how big is the fleet now?
Yeah.
But not a huge deal.
I did notice two of the watchstanders got names in this book.
Yes.
I thought that was funny.
Took a little while. But the story is taking place at, again, the level above them in the hierarchy.
Yeah.
So I'm continuing to enjoy the books.
Mm-hmm.
The jumping from battle to battle, we're making progress. It doesn't feel like we're kind of treading water.
Yeah.
And the bigger picture is evolving.
Yes.
So I think it's relatively well paced in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
The end of this book, we chatted a little after we both finished it and agreed it was a little awkward.
Yeah, there was an encounter between Gary and Desjani that was just a very awkward conversation. And part of that was the author wanted them to imply things versus say things and dance around a topic.
Captain Desjani reports to Gary.
Mm-hmm.
So there's chain of command there. And the two of them have been working side by side together now for months. She is the captain of the Dauntless, him is the fleet commander, and gained a mutual respect and admiration, which has morphed into feelings of love.
Mm.
But chain of command, you can't have that, and both of them are honorable people.
Yeah.
So this admission of not unrequited love, but forbidden love.
Yeah.
Where they really can't say what they want to say, but they're dancing around it to make the point clear without flat out saying that they love each other.
Yeah.
But that they're, if the war is able to end or whatever, if they can get to a point where they can get out of that chain of command
mm-hmm.
without damaging the fleet, the alliance, etc.
Well, and Desjani doesn't want Gary to give up his mission, etc. She doesn't want for him the same things he does, in some respects.
Oh, very much not. He just wants to move on and get to where he can have a quiet life and adjust to being a century out of time.
Mm-hmm.
She sees him on a mission from the stars to save the Alliance.
Yeah.
He's King Arthur in her mind.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah.
And he hates that kind of pressure, but has enough respect for her that she's not saying those things out of a mistaken mythological belief.
Yeah.
She's actually seen what this guy can do. He makes mistakes, but he recovers and all of that.
Well, she's also seen what her peers of the time can do.
Yeah.
And knows how much better they are under his command versus Admiral Blocks, for instance.
Well, I mean, this fleet was at the point of about to get massacred.
Yeah.
You know, they were being asked to surrender in the first book.
Yes. Yeah.
So for them to have inflicted so much devastation on the military targets of the Syndic world while leaving the civilian stuff relatively intact.
That was the other thing that the CEO that was the sister of the mayor brought up, was that she had heard stories from the various worlds the fleet had been to, going back to Gary's hope that word would spread.
Mm-hmm. Do the right thing. It's kind of a karma thing.
Yeah.
Do good. Good will come to you.
Yeah.
So it's been fun. I'm glad we've been reading these.
Yeah, me too.
Again, not entirely sure where the next book is going, because the way it left off, it's kind of, we still got to get back to the Alliance space.
Yeah.
But not a, we're going straight to another battle, or we're going to the star system, or what. That's not the final note it left on.
Yeah.
So, again, curious what the reveal is going to be in the next book or two on the Saboteurs, on the political situation both within the Alliance and between it and the Syndic world, and what's going on with the aliens.
Well, we now have an idea how the aliens are following us.
Mm-hmm.
Cressida?
Yeah.
Found, I guess, something in the navigation system and how the Hypernet key works with it. And they think they're coming up with a way to neutralize that.
Yeah, they'd realized that there was a quantum entanglement kind of a thing going that was able to influence their systems. And I forget if it was Iger or whoever said, we don't need to understand it to do a counterwave to nullify it.
Yeah.
Sure, a few things may slip through, but not the message, just the noise.
Yes.
So we can eliminate the damage. So major progress is made on that. But I think that was also what necessitated the introduction of the internal sabotage for them to start looking in that area.
That makes sense, yeah.
I'm kind of hoping it's not Captain Duellos who's behind the other side, other contingent.
I don't think it is.
I don't think so, but the reason I suggest it might be is keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be disappointed if it is.
Me too.
But there's no other...
Red herring?
Option.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I wondered if Yen and the other one were really on the shuttle.
I think the one who wanted the court-martial is the one who would have been likely to have been the troublemaker.
Yeah.
So it's... I've had a few other books where I'll get 4 or 5 in out of 6 or whatever. Or I'll get to that 6th and it's like, loving it, and you end here?
Yeah.
And I don't think that's going to happen with these books. Each book has a good beginning, middle, and end. With it, it's part of a saga, so there's definitely more coming.
Yes.
And sometimes very blatantly what's coming, sometimes a little less so. But paced in kind of good digestible chunks.
Mm-hmm.
These things tend to be 10 or 11 chapters each, about 30 pages a chapter.
Long chapters.
I kind of wish they would break it at the scene breaks, just so there are more convenient stopping points.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm enjoying this, and I'm going to need to see if they're doing more Lost Fleet comics as well.
Oh, good call.
Because again, that's how I found out about the property.
Yeah, good call.
And then once we're done with this chunk of 6, I think there's 2 other kind of sagas within this world, or this universe, I should say.
Yeah.
We've gone to many worlds.
Yeah.
Some have even survived.
Yeah, yeah. It's got nice world building. See, I'm enjoying it.
Is anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.